Hey, greetings everyone. This is Brother James from DopeParish.com, John 4:24 Radio. Want to bring you a teaching today from the Word of God, discernment, truth, edification. My topic today, the two shall be one flesh. Two shall be one flesh. It seems like lately I have a theme going regarding marriage, divorce, and remarriage. I've had some witnessing sessions with some Mennonites and some Mennonite Anabaptist-like people. So I've been doing a couple of articles, but we've had articles on divorce, remarriage that expose the heretical idea that if a man or a woman marries someone, they can never, ever, ever divorce them and take another partner under any circumstance till death do them part. Again, it's mostly the Anabaptists. They treat marriage like a mystical spiritual union. But I'm here to talk about this today to prove to you in Scripture it's not a mystical or spiritual union at all. The Old Testament and the New Testament shows us this is a false idea because divorce and remarriage was allowed in some cases in both of the New and the Old. You can go see my articles at DontParish.com, go to the teaching blog, or write from DontParish.com on the teaching library. And look up divorce, remarriage. I've got the articles that refute them, lay it all out in Scripture. But for today, let's discuss this idea. It's really a problem of the marriage permanence heretics and this one flesh. The two shall be one flesh from Scripture. Let's read it. Genesis 2:21-24. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, closed up this flesh thereof, instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made a woman, and brought her unto man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." So that's a main verse that they talk about. It's quoted again in the New Testament. We'll talk about that. So the aim for my teaching here is to prove, it's not to demean marriage. No, not at all. It's to prove, though, that marriage is not a mystic spiritual endeavor, but it's a earthly flesh covenant. It's a bond between a man and a woman. And of course, it's best lived out if they're both looking to God in Christ to serve him and live in this marriage covenant. So let's talk about the word flesh in Hebrew. I believe that word is basar, and it means flesh, naked, or kindred and relation. So it literally means flesh and bone, your body, and it also can mean your flesh, meaning a relative and a kindred person, and we'll talk about that. I'll give you some verses on that as we go here. So in Genesis 2, we see God created woman from man. How amazing, how interesting. And right off, this gives us a clue to what this is all about. They are made from one flesh, made from the same physical flesh. That's a clue right there. And then via this commitment to each other, a covenant, like God has a covenant with us. God always had covenants. The marriage bond and sexual union. The two, their bodies, become one flesh in that act. Without being too graphic, all you adults can understand. That's what that means, right? In that act. And we're going to talk about that act, bringing two to one flesh, even outside of marriage. Yep, we're going to talk about that as we go here. So God has procreation for mankind all wrapped up in this oneness with a man and a woman, this bond, this covenant, with both of their bodies needing to come together to unite and create new life. How beautiful. What an amazing creator. And this creates the core of the family unit that God ordained. Another beautiful part. And the husband and wife have a closeness and a bond, a togetherness, a commitment, a relationship, a life together, like no other bond in mankind. You can't think of another bond that's closer. Not mother and father, because the children leave. Husband and wife, closest bond you can think of in all of mankind. But it is of the flesh. It's not mystical. It's not for lifetime. It should be. We'll talk about that. We promote it. It should be for life. But sin and the fallen world sometimes causes situations where a divorce and remarriage is possible. Scriptures teach that. And so, no spiritual connection, no spiritual union, no mystical or permanence of a marriage here on earth. And I'm going to prove that as we go through using scriptures. Again, go look at my other articles at the teaching blog or the teaching articles at Don't Perish, and you'll see many, many scriptures that back it up. But let's go to the next verse of Genesis 2, and it gives us another clue and another little hint. Genesis 2:25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. So stop and think for a second. Once you're past being a little kid, a toddler, a baby, you get a presence and awareness for the conscience that God gives you and just for what's right and what's righteous. You don't like being naked around other people if you're normal, unless you're perverted and corrupt in some way. The human nature is that you just don't like being naked. You're uncomfortable. You cover up. For the most part, although people don't cover up biblically the way God designed it, that's another topic. But think about it. In the marriage bond, you come to a comfort level with that person, a relationship, a unity, a covenant, a closeness, a oneness, to where you're no longer uncomfortable. That's normal. It's natural to be naked with your spouse, and that's a physical, fleshly nakedness. So we see that in Adam and Eve right there. This is more evidence that this is indeed a very rare, special, unique, intimate, flesh relationship covenant. Not spiritual and not mystical. All right. Now, even though we are all of the same flesh, right? We all come from Adam and we all come from Eve, the first couple. We don't have the same kind of one flesh closeness with each other outside of marriage. Why not? Well, think about it. We're not sexually united to others. We shouldn't be, between one man and one woman, right? We're not sharing all of our life with one person the way a husband and wife does, right? We're not in an intimate relationship. Intimacy can be sex. Intimacy can be trust and confidence and confiding in someone. We are not living in a family unit. Most people don't live that close communally. Most people don't live in the same house, the same food. Here's one. Having children and raising them. This draws people together. Same goals, same bed. Sleeping in the same bed with somebody, very intimate, right? Same mind, same future plans, etc., etc. So even though we're all of one flesh in mankind, we don't all share the closeness of the one flesh shall, or the two flesh shall be one. Because why? It's a physical union. Not a spiritual union. So the marriage bond is very special for all those reasons, but it is that. It's a covenant of the flesh, and it's for earth only. We'll talk about that too. Little side note here. If we make the marriage bond all about the one flesh union, the sex union, I've heard people say, oh, it's not a marriage unless they actually have sex and consummate it. This really takes and demeans couples that either for physical reasons or age can't perform that act anymore. I don't want to go there. I think that's very demeaning. The fact is, all human beings are headed to a place in their bodies as they degrade and don't function normally, to where many marriages end and that stuff doesn't happen anymore as people get much older. To demean the marriage relationship down to just the sex act, I think is also a big mistake. We have to look at the union, the commitment, the covenant, the faithfulness. Yeah, that all goes in to the marriage bond, but it's not spiritual and it's not mystical. So moving on, let's look at this word flesh that's used in other places in Scripture. Genesis 29:14. This gives us an opposite view. Flesh and bone was Adam and Eve. What is this? Genesis 29:13-14. And it came to pass when Laban had heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him. He embraced him, he kissed him, and he brought him to his house. And he told Laban all things. And Laban said to him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. So this is the same word that talks about Adam and Eve, flesh. So Laban, is he one flesh with this young man? No, that's corrupt. That's perverted. No, he's a kindred. He has a relationship by blood. So we see the difference of the word flesh being used there. Adam and Eve had a physical fleshly bond, husband and wife coming together as one flesh. We can have a flesh bond with a blood relative. I warn you to be careful about those unless they're believers in Christ, of course. So again, kindred relationship versus the flesh. But they, you know, obviously if you just have an uncle and you're related by blood or an aunt, you're not close as a marriage bond. And so that's a big difference. Other verses that talk about that, you can go look them up. Judges 9:2, 2 Samuel 5:1, 2 Samuel 19:12 through 13. Go look those up, and it talks about flesh as far as genealogy being related in the flesh. So Jesus, I talked to you about how this is requoted. Jesus quotes Genesis in Matthew 19:4-5. Let's read it. And he answered and said unto them, ye have not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female. So Jesus kind of backs up man and wife marriage here, right? You know, so much for your gay marriage going on today. Verse 5, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and the twain, too, shall be one flesh. So Jesus quotes Genesis. What a good backup to the Old Testament. You know, real quick, if people ever tell you, people that say Christ was a prophet or he's a great man of God, you know, he wasn't a liar. If they ever say those things, I always tell people, he believed in Genesis. He believed in Noah. He believed in Jonah. He validates all the Old Testament stories. So think about that. If Jesus isn't a liar, that means all the Old Testament stories or the Old Testament accounts are true. I just want to throw that in there. If you're ever witnessing to somebody, they got to say Jesus is a liar if they laugh about the ark and Jonah, because Jesus backs it all up for us. Just wanted to put that in there. So in Matthew 19, that word flesh in Greek is sarx. And it means exactly what the other word meant when he's talking about Adam and Eve. The flesh, skin, and bone. It has nothing to do with mysticism, has nothing to do with a spiritual melding together. Nope, it has nothing to do with spirit. It means just the flesh. The man goes into the woman, as the Bible says. That's what it means. So that is more good proof indeed. As I'm showing you, this is not a spiritual mystical union that has to be for all of life. This is a covenant of the flesh between a man and a wife, hopefully with them under Christ. Now, as I said before, most of the Anabaptist types are the ones that push this. They have decided, they have created and made up this mystical bond of the spirit. And they say it bonds a husband and wife together till you die, no matter what. Doesn't matter. Fornication, abandonment, nothing. You can't ever divorce and remarry someone else. And again, we promote Christians being married for life and being committed to each other. In a perfect world, that's what God designed it for, right? But we don't live in a perfect world. Sin came into the world, and while God does not condone sin, God made allowance for sin. If you don't think that's true, what are all the slaughtered sheep and animals, and why did Christ come? God made allowance for sin. He made allowance for divorce as well. What a gracious God. He could kill us all and destroy us like he almost did at Noah's day, but he allows for grace and redemption in Christ. So there's no evidence at all that God makes this a spiritual union. In fact, God, I can prove to you, did not look at marriage as one partner for life. God told the Israelites in Ezra to divorce all your pagan wives. What happened to their one spiritual union? It doesn't exist. Jesus allowed for it. He said, except for the cause of fornication, which is sexual immorality, he allowed for it. Paul, in the book of 1 Corinthians 7, allows for it. If an unbeliever abandons you, he says you're no longer bound. What happens to this mystical spiritual bond if the word of God is allowing divorce and remarriage, even under Moses? Let's talk about that. Deuteronomy 1 says that all these things were written, given by God to Moses. So this is God's commandment. In Deuteronomy 24, he tells Moses that men can divorce their wives as long as they give them a written decree of divorcement. What happens to the mystical bond and the spiritual union of all those people getting married and divorced? It shouldn't have been that way because of the hardness of their hearts. It was, again, God was allowing for women to be protected while men were doing all kinds of things they shouldn't have been doing. God was giving an allowance for it. So it's a flesh commitment, a covenant, nothing more. God's word proves that to us. When I say nothing more, I'm not demeaning marriage. I'm just saying it's not spiritual or mystic. It's very important in the earthly realm we live, of course. Now, I've heard men say that marriage is an act of two spirits becoming one. Now, you think about that. God creates us. We have a spirit. And they say when you get married, they become one. What they've done is they've used terrible exegesis, and they've used, actually they're using eisegesis, and they're saying, they're taking what God made two flesh one, and they're saying he makes two spirits one. Nope, they need to use exegesis and exit the truth like I'm trying to do here, and we see that it's the flesh that is joined together, not the spirits. And usually it's the Anabaptists that say this, and it is not so. Again, it is a union of the flesh and in the marriage covenant that God ordained. Now, in great hypocrisy, the Anabaptists, the Mennonites, the Kingdom Christians, the Amish, German Baptists, whoever believes this stuff, Hutterites, they'll tell you that you can break your salvation covenant with God and lose your salvation. I agree with that. You can. Once saved, always saved is a lie. So they'll say you can turn your back, you can sin, you can lose and break your covenant with God for salvation. And then they turn around and say, but for marriage, you can never do that. You never break it, no matter what you do. That is absolute hypocrisy, that they would make a physical marriage covenant on earth more powerful than the blood covenant born of the Spirit of God because of what Christ did and our repentance to him and being made new creations. They put the marriage covenant over the salvation covenant. Think about that. That is corrupt, perverted, and terrible, heretical theology. Don't let them get away with this. And the reason they took on this theology, I said this in a couple of my other teachings, they stopped preaching the gospel and living out the biblical life, and they went into little farm communities and business communities, and their leaders decided, we don't want no divorce people coming in. So they said, no divorce, remarriage ever. And that's not what even the founders like Menno taught. And they love the early church fathers, and it's not even what the early church fathers like Tertullian believed. He believed pre-conversion divorce remarriage was not on your record. 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? All things become new. So very hypocritical of the Anabaptists today. Now that we see the evidence, I'm showing you that this is just a flesh covenant. It's not a spiritual covenant. God allowed for divorce and remarriage. I'm going to give you another area of scripture that really backs this up and kind of like they say, another nail in the coffin. It seals it right up here. I want you to see what Brother Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:16 and what he says about two becoming one. 1 Corinthians 6:15-16. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? We know from Paul that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? No. 16. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? Did you catch that? And this ending of this verse is huge. For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. So let's unpack this. So Paul is quoting Genesis. Who's he? That would be God. Jesus referenced it too, right? Jesus is God, but he referenced the two shall be one. Paul is saying, if you lay with a harlot, you're uniting into a one flesh relationship from two flesh, not mystic, not spiritual. Clearly, if you fall down on your faith and go run with a harlot, she's not a believer, right? No harlot would be thought of as a believer or follower of Christ. How could you be united spiritually, mystically with a harlot? You can't. But look what Paul says. What this proves is the sex act of a man entering a woman, whether it's in marriage, or here, you can't argue it, Paul said it, or in the case of fornication with a harlot, the two become one flesh. According to the Anabaptist theology, that they would be married now. That man would be married to the harlot that he bought for an hour. How ridiculous. But Paul does talk about the one flesh union. And this shows us so much. It's not a spirit bond. It's not a mystical bond. It is a fleshly bond that we got to be very, very careful about. He likens the sex act to that which of a harlot, like a marriage act. And this is great evidence that a marriage is a covenant based on the commitment of a man and a wife to each other, their faithfulness, and that another act of one flesh union can break it. It's exactly what it means. Jesus allowed for divorce because of fornication. That's sexual sin, and it breaks a marriage covenant. Just like we can break our covenant with God, we can break our covenant with our wives or with your husbands by another two flesh becoming one. So, all these things to consider and ponder. And if you also consider this, if marriage was a spiritual union, you would never see divorce, remarriage of any kind in the scriptures, Old or New Testament, and we see it in both. You know why? Because my Father is not the author of confusion. So a man marries a woman and God gives them, allows them, or commands them to divorce, and all of a sudden, what happened to their mystical spiritual union? Now they marry somebody else and now their mystical spiritual unions are all messed up. No, God's not the author of confusion. Covenants start, covenants end. Marriages start, marriages end. Unfortunately, for various reasons and sin, marriages do end in divorce. God divorced Israel twice. The Anabaptists hate when I tell them that, but it's true. He did. God's not the author of confusion. We learn about that in 1 Corinthians. So I encourage you, if you study this out, right, you're going to find this truth. Now, when I say that marriage is not a spiritual bond, I don't mean it cannot be spiritual in nature. Let me explain that. You can study the Bible with your wife or your husband. You can pray with them. You can attend religious gatherings with them. You can do ministry work with them. And you can share all kinds of things closely in the life of a Christ follower, born of the Spirit of God. But it does not link you in the Spirit. When your partner dies, your husband or wife dies, you don't have less of a spirit in you. You weren't united in spirit. You got a lot of flesh. You got a lot of feelings. Got a lot of motion. But you're not linked in the Spirit. One flesh is not one spirit, is what I'm trying to tell you here. And another proof of this is the Bible tells us we're all going to live and die and then face judgment. Hebrews 9:27. And it is appointed unto men once to die after this judgment. We don't learn of any judgment where God's judging you, husband and wife, right next to each other. No. Everyone's going to stand on their own. Marriage is a earthly covenant. Two flesh become one. Now, the last point I want to make, if I need to further prove my point, I don't really think I need to, but I will further prove it. If marriage was a mystical spiritual bond beyond just the flesh, wouldn't that mean there'd be marriage in heaven? That wouldn't we all still be united to our spouses in heaven? Well, that's going to be a real mess if God was allowing men to divorce their wives and take other ones and those wives could go marry somebody else. Who's going to be whose husband and wife in heaven? What a mess. No, it won't be so. What did our Savior say? Matthew 22:29-30. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. So there's going to be no marriage recognized in heaven. This creates, this takes away, I should say, the problem that the Anabaptists say, well, you left your first wife and you have a spiritual bond, you took other ones, and I think they think, what's going to happen in heaven when you show up with all, you know, one or two other wives? This takes care of it. There's going to be no marriage in heaven. It's a earthly covenant of the flesh, clearly what it is. It's not mystical. It's not spiritual. The one flesh is a close, intimate family bond. Let's go over some points here. It's a close family, intimate bond. It's a covenant till broken by another one, two flesh become one. sin, fornication, adultery. It should be for life. We teach that. We believe that. My wife and I are striving for that. But it can end through sin in divorce and remarriage. And sometimes people are allowed to remarry based on the biblical case. If a partner breaks that vow, the other partner's not bound. The Bible clearly teaches that, allowing for divorce and remarriage. And all you people with pre-conversion, divorce, and remarriage in your past, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, all things are made new. That would mean pre-conversion lifestyle, pre-conversion choices, like divorce and remarriage. All your past is washed away. If you're not living in ongoing sin, which means if you were a homosexual before you were a Christian, you got to repent of that because that's sinful activity. If you were divorced and remarried before conversion, and now you're living a godly life and living in a union that God has ordained, husband and wife, that's not ongoing sin. And we see that this act of two flesh becoming one breaks a marriage bond. That means when people get remarried, they're broken. In fact, I need to remind you, I talked about this in my other articles, God forbid anyone from going back to their original partner. Yeah. If God really thought that it was a mystic spiritual bond, he'd say, go back to your first wife like the Mennonites do, or your first husband. They destroy families over this doctrine. God said it was an abomination to go back to your first marriage partner. So more hypocrisy that goes on there. This idea of a one-flesh mystic spiritual connection is just a product of the twisted Anabaptist theology. Scripture does not back it up. Like I said, their early leaders and the church fathers they adore, many of them disagree with them on this topic. They took up this theology to protect their little communities. How pharisaical of them. They're better than divorced and remarried people, I guess. Yeah, they're going to be judged for that one day. So I'd encourage you, go test all this out in the Word. The men that teach this heresy, they can't back it up in the Word of God. And you know how I can prove that? For years, I've been defending this idea that marriage is a physical bond on earth, that in some cases, you can divorce and remarry, that pre-conversion divorce and remarriage is forgiven of you. And I've been defending, of course, marriage between husband and wife that are Christian, they should stay together. I don't promote men that are Christians divorcing their wives and taking other wives. No, no, no. Willful sin. What you know is sin. You shouldn't be doing that. But as Paul said, I was a murderer in my ignorance. I didn't know what I was doing. We know what we're doing now as Christians, don't we? We shouldn't be marrying and giving marriage. So when I bring this up and I use the Word of God like I've been doing here and I teach on it, they'll go running in the dark. They'll often say I hate them because I expose their false hypocrisy, their home wrecking. When you bring out the Hebrews 4:12 sword, they all run like a bunch of cowards because they can't stand in the Word of God. Ask them how Jesus recognized the woman at the well with five husbands if she only could have one for life. Nobody's ever been able to give me an answer to that one. She had five husbands. Jesus recognized them. Yeah, just another example of how wrong they really are. So don't let these false teachers deceive you. Be a Berean. Test all things to the Word of God. The Word is our truth, saints, not these false man-made traditions that lead to destruction. You ever notice that? False man-made religion always leads to destruction. Destruction of the truth, destruction of the family unit, destruction of marriages, destruction of people's faith. It's all going to end right here. Destruction in hell and judgment because they're keeping all of these false ways. So study to be a Berean. Test what I've said here. Go to don'tperish.com. Either go to the teaching blog or go to the teaching articles. Look up divorce. Look up remarriage. I've got all the articles there. Men, if I'm wrong, here's one for you. I've been challenging them for years. Send me an email. Prove me I'm wrong. I could fall asleep at my computer and have cobwebs all over me. I'm waiting for the phone calls or the emails. They don't come because they love their pet doctrine. They don't dare turn their back on it because why? They're going to lose community. They'll lose their jobs. They may lose family members over their false doctrines. Isn't that exactly what Jesus said it's going to cost to follow him? Lose your life. be hated, turn your back on false man-made ways. Yeah, the Anabaptists are afraid to do that because they are in fellowship idolatry and they love their false doctrines that make them feel better than everyone else. They're really the modern-day Pharisees. And while I love them all, I don't hate them. I don't hate anybody on the face of the earth. I don't hate the leader of Russia, Putin, that's making war. I hope he comes to salvation. I don't hate Anabaptists, but I do hate their false ways. The Bible tells me to. I hope they repent and stop wrecking people's homes, and I work hard to stand against them, and people have been made aware of their false doctrine. Praise God. We won't stop till the Lord takes me home. So I hope that this has edified you. Thanks for listening. Go to our resources. Let me know I can help you in the faith. If you're married and you're in Christ, walk out that covenant. Be faithful. Give your life for your wives, men. Women, submit to your husbands. Honor God. Glorify God in this one, two, become one flesh union. Don't fall for all the false religion around you. Open the scriptures. You're going to be tested to them when you stand before God. Don't let the Pharisees of today deceive you. Hey, it's been Brother James. I love you all. Let me know I can help you in the faith. Till next time, may God be praised.